starts up that song. Now, first of all, let me say this, that this is my favorite song too, because the Lord gave it to me, and I was so thrilled by it, because, you know, when I was young, I always started to write poetry. And so when I was three, I would sometimes just worship the Lord, open my mouth, as I said this, do it. You never know what miracle can come out of it. So in the toilet of shouting, I said, I just opened my mouth and just praise the Lord. And that word came, all this came in 5 minutes. It just come on 5 minutes. You know, and so it means a lot to me, because it just flowed, the whole thing flowed in such a way that it means so much to me, because my relationship with Him, your relationship with your God, your Lord, is important how you interact with Him. Alright? And so today, my message today, I'm not preaching, but I'm going to teach understanding. My title is Understanding. Your understanding about the Word of God, your relationship with the Word. We're going to look at it and see how the Word is, so that we can keep a balance and actually move into the Word of God in the way that God wants us to see. Because if we fail to see it, we will not be able to understand a lot of things. Okay? Alright.
There was a time when my heart was so blue. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for sending us only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer. And because of your love for Him, Father in heaven, He willingly laid down His life and raised it up again and seeking those sheep that belongs to Him. And He went about calling us by name. Oh, what a wonderful day it was when we heard our name being called. And He told us that we belong to Him. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you. Can never thank you enough, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Blessed be thy holy name. Bless this time now, Father, as we get around thy word and learn. We know, Father, we live in an hour that we are waiting and seeing the great day that is to come for the sins of God to be taken home to be with Christ Jesus. And we know, Lord, it is conditioned the world today. There is a storm coming. No judge on the whole human race, Lord, but individually we are all going through our storm of life. Yes, Lord. When the storms of life are raging, no matter what, Father, stand by us. Stand by me, Lord. When our faith is being tried, we are not here in this life sleeping on a bed of roses or even walking on a bed of roses. The path that we take, this pilgrimage, it's an upward journey and it's not an easy journey. There's an up, there's the down. There's the hurt, there's the sorrow, there's the pain. But there's joy. Joy is unspeakable and full of glory. And there's peace, peace that the world cannot give, but thou give it to us. And we thank you, Lord. No matter what we face, what is coming ahead in our life. As many brothers and sisters, Lord, are going through trials, not just in this fellowship, but in other fellowship too, right? In other places, in other countries. Some face a smaller trial, some face a bigger trial. But Lord, in each and all of this, you're always there. There's no trial, temptation that has overtaken us without you knowing it, Father. And with what that you know the body for, then the thing that is too big, yet, Father, you give us your grace to overcome. So, Father, right now, Lord, as we learn of your word, let us remember it is that wisdom of yours, that knowledge of you, that grant us the strength, grant us the understanding to face what's ahead of us. For in that day when we see you face to face, Lord, you will say unto us, welcome, enter into my kingdom, thou faithful ones. And we thank you, Lord, all this will be made possible because you walk with us and you talk with us. We ask for your grace now, Lord. Bless now, Father, thy holy word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. All right, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 11. And reading verse 9, 10. I want you all to use the Bible today. I want you to look closely. I want you to check, examine. I'm teaching you all, because there's a lot of time people just fail to understand the Word of God. I want to teach you how to look at the Bible. I want to teach you how you link verse and words. We are not like what the Chinese would say to students who go to school, whether secondary, high school, or university, or we say teaching. You don't know what we mean, right? You don't know what I'm saying? Burger, Chinese word, teaching. Huh? So you are going by the book without an understanding. I remember Zoe, when he was young, I think one of the questions he was asked about botany or something about, give an example of how plant can grow without soil. How plant can grow without soil? And she had been taught, as she said, hydroponic. You know what hydroponic is? Okay. The teacher marked a cross and said, that's not the true answer. Why? Says that that is beyond our standard or something like that. So neither you know more than what your standard is, means it cannot be an answer. And the answer is wrong. Very strange, isn't it? So the same thing applies when you are in denomination, when you are in the tradition. And when you tell a person the truth, what you know in the Bible, that's wrong. Original sin, how can you say original sin is a sin committed by Eve with the serpent? That's terrible. That's wrong. Not you with a cross. The answer is, it's an apple tree that Eve partook of an apple. Or maybe it's a pear. As your witnesses used to draw them, a pear. So it depends on what denomination you are. You want a pear, an apple, or a durian, or passion fruit? So as long as it must be a fruit tree, and you get a tick pass. Good answer. If it's beyond that, it's a cross. So you see, Christian goes to church on Sunday. What are they learning? What are they learning? What are these Christians learning? As Bob used to say, Satan is being worshipped every Sunday. Where? In churches. Because the truth are not taught. The truth are not taught. So if truths are not taught, then what do you have? You have tradition. Right. So we look at it in the Bible. I want to really show you that we need to walk in the light. John 11, 9, 10. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumble not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumble because there is no light in him. Well, these two Facebook like you. These two verses are kind of different. The first one talks about the physical, the second one talks about the spiritual. Do you see? There are 12 hours in the day. 12 hours of darkness, you know that, right? The Bible mentioned about it. So in the physical, it's only in the daytime that we can sit in properly, we do things properly. Now, in those days, of course, when you start talking about day and night, you don't have electricity in those days. You only have candlelight. So when you need the light in night, in darkness, you need to light a candle. But if you're outside, you don't have a candle, no lamp, sunset is dark. There's not much thing that you can do. You see. Then Jesus said, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbles because there is no light in him. If you walk in the night, what is night? That time is darkness. Right? So what is darkness? If I said that you have, there's darkness in the world, what does it mean? We're talking about spiritual things, the darkness. Well, in the churches there are darkness. Because they are tradition. What does the Bible say in 1 John 5:7? What did John say? He says, this then is the message. In him is no darkness, right? In God there is no darkness. What does it mean? No darkness means no tradition. No ambiguity. No this and that and no opinion. In God there is light. This means this. And that's it. So, if we walk in the night, if we are in the denomination, you'll be walking in the night. Because it's darkness. The Bible of Revelation talks about the seat of the Antichrist. It says full of darkness. Roman Catholicism is full of darkness. Yep, they have religious ceremony. They have their light in the candle in the whole church, in the whole cathedral. But that's not the kind of light we're talking about. We're talking about light as to the Word of God. People walk in darkness, walk in the night, is because they don't have the light in Him. So now, brother said, do you have light in you? So if you have light in you, then you should be able to walk in the light of the Word of God. You know, I've heard oftentimes, and I think you probably have heard it too. I mean, this church started in 1971. Fellowship started in 71. Over the years, people come, people go. There's always the conflict. There's always the problem. We all have, because we are human. We have problem with one another. We have problem with, you know, because we have opinion. But I said this one thing here. If you are born again, my brother Henry was telling me, talked to a Jehovah's Witnesses woman, asking her, have you been born again and received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They have no idea what that was. What that is all about. Yes, it's because you're not taught. Now, if we have the Holy Ghost with us, we are born again, we have the Holy Ghost. How do we conduct ourselves? How do we conduct ourselves? We've got to be sincere. That's why I said one thing. When I get the message, I read the particular book where Barabbas talks about when he said, the angel told you, if you will be sincere, remember the book called Do You Fear Cancer? The angel came there and he told him, if you will be sincere and get the people to believe you, nothing will stand before you. Because he was given this, if you will be sincere. Not with God, not with man. Be sincere. Yourself. So can we be sincere? You know, Brother Man was around with back in those days, of course, the Pentecostal. You know, he was from the Baptist side. Even as you know his testimony, the Baptist were baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But when he became a Christian and entered into the church, he told the pastor, baptize me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which of course was contrary to the creed of the Baptist. But the pastor baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told the pastor, honestly, sincerely, that's the way I want to be baptized. Later on, of course, the Lord moved him to mix with the Pentecostal, but he was so, been told many different things. That the Pentecostal people are holding over the fanatics and blah blah blah. So he put away. And when he put away, the Lord took his wife. Painful, huh? And then the Lord took on the daughters. Painful, huh? The Lord wanted to move that way, go that way. Right? Brother Infant. Jacob is the same. But we have. The problem we have today is that There are a lot of people who, well, acting spiritual. No, you cannot act spiritual. Can you act spiritual? How do you act spiritual? I think the only way I can act spiritual is when I come here wearing a robe with a collar turned inside out with a big cross. How do you act spiritual? You can't act spiritual. You must be yourself. And let the Lord and the Holy Spirit within you shut out the way it is. And speak the truth in love. Yea, yea, be yea, nay, be nay. You know, problem was with this man, of course, and was for a while, later on he went by. There was a certain minister. I think, I don't know if I should mention the name, but it was in the article of someone who wrote it. Everybody know who Rabbi was referring to. Yeah, well, I can mention this. I don't mention the name, but you can go figure it out. They call him Mr. Pentecostal. Or Mr. Pentecost. Rabbi one time make a remark, says that, you know, if you take a cat, and you stroke the cat from the head down to the tail, right? The cat will, you know, her cat likes it, right? Correct or not? You know that, right? Abraham said, if you rub him the other way around, he'll bite you. No minister was around there knew who the person was that Abraham was referring to. You know, when you're outstanding, when you do something ridiculous and you put yourself forward, everybody knows. Among the circle, people will know. I did not know about this man. I only know him as Mr. Pentecost, and he was well known. But there's another thing that he did, he does, I mean he did, but I don't quite think to him. And when I read about this article, what Rabbi was referring to, and that is true. Some people like to be pet, and like to be what we call, be a nice person. Stroke you, huh? You know what I mean? Stroke you? Nice, very nice. Right? Well, sometimes you can see on the internet there are some religious joke. But some religious are so profane. It was this joke, I would not repeat the joke the way it was said, but you understand. A woman who was a member of the church brought her husband there. But her husband was not a believer. Just went along with the wife. He sat there in the congregation and heard what the pastor said and all these things. God let the message. Okay? And as usual, you know, the church pastor, the offering back and so on. After the service was over, he went out, met the pastor. The pastor shook hands. He said, oh, so you're the husband of this woman, blah, blah, blah. And the man said, yes, I am. He used a very vulgar word. He used, you know, very crude word. You know what I mean? Yeah, your sermon was good. You know what I mean? He used that something like D-A-M-E. Damn good. You know what I mean? But he was using that other word. S word. What was? Oh, your sermon was. Oh. Then the pastor said, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't use vulgarity. You know, don't use crude word. Then he came out having conversation, he still used that. You know what I mean? And you know what? Then he told the pastor, you know what? I'm so happy because your message, your sermon, I give a big offering of $10,000 in there. And the pastor also said, that's... You see, you see what I'm saying? You know, that's the way things go in our... in the life of people. You're being a hypocrite, telling them to talk about all this vulgarity, and you do it because you got a lot of money in the offering bank. Yeah. So now, have you heard people say, God told me? Now, I have a personal time. God told me to tell you this. God told me to tell you this. Then there are, God told me versus I felt like a God versus I don't know. So one of the things is this. Now, if you as a Christian, you pray and the Lord, you feel the Lord is telling you something. Okay, but you're not sure it's a passage of the law. Don't go and tell people. The Lord told me to tell you this. That's what one sister did years ago, and I put him away. Come here on the phone. You know, I want to come back. What do you want to come back? I said, no, I don't want you to come back. You can go to some other church. Prepare this three times, up to go. But, you know, Brother God, God told me to come and tell you this, that you come and see me. Oh, God told you to come and tell me to come and see you. I said, God didn't tell me to come and see you. You see how that thing is? You don't. How is it? Do you believe that God worked in both directions? Peter was praying on the rooftop, remember? Out there in Caesarea. Cornelius, right? Remember? How the Lord revealed to him and sent out two men to come and call Peter. And Peter was praying and he saw this vision. And how that God worked on both hands. But don't come and tell me. God tell me to tell you to come and see me. You see, a lot of people place themselves more important. That's true. You cannot be important, more important than anybody else. Even out here, I am a pastor, I have authority with the word of God in the pulpit, but I'm still a common man. I'm nobody special, just a common man. You are my brother, you are my sister. And we are all brothers and sisters. Only that I have my place, you have your place. Correct? Now, that's what I like about our government here. The MP, they go out there, they eat among the people in the food court, right? And that should be, you should walk the ground. The man, if you are an MP, a politician, you don't walk the ground, how are you going to serve the people? Isn't it? You see? So, if you know that God showed it to you, then you can say, God told me this. Otherwise, you don't open your mouth and take the name of God in vain. If you do not know, like I told one brother last time, I said, your ministry comes and minister. I asked him, did God call you? He said, it's a very personal thing. He said, how can it be personal? You're not apostle, I'm an apostle. Right? The Bible identifies who you are. If God called you to be an apostle, God called you to be a pastor. Yes, say so. I said, very personal, between God and me. Then I told him, I said, if God did not call you, but you felt led to do something for the Lord, it's okay. Go ahead and do it. But look. God told me versus I feel like God. It's two different things. And if you don't know any of these, say versus I don't know. Did God tell you this? I don't know. That's fine. But we learn. Right? I mean, every one of us wish to be, well, especially in the Pentecostal denomination and the system and the charismatic. They always wanted to be, many of these preachers wanted to be like who? Isaiah, Daniel, Elijah, When you read in the Bible, wow. Elijah was so bold, being challenged by the 300 Baal prophets. Who? And he said, well, okay, let's see. Let's see if we will give an offering, give a sacrifice. The God that answered by fire, he be God. So, the Baal prophet put an altar up, put all the sacrifice, right? And they scream and they dance and they might call upon the name of the Lord. And Elijah just leaned back and said, oh, come on now, maybe he's taking a holiday. You got to shout and call out louder. Wow, where did it come from? So many preachers and charismatic and Pentecostal wanted to be like that. To do the same thing. But if God learned how to do it, you can't. Well, what about David? Wow, look at Goliath out there challenging them, the army of Israel. And he came back with a young man in his early 20. And after I says, what do you, all these youth, soldier, warrior, what do you, you can't even fight the man. And everybody is afraid because that Goliath was big. Well protected. So what makes David so bold? Huh, I'm going to go out there. I will not let him take God's name in vain. What, how did he know that the God is with him? Did he go out there? Did God speak to him? Go! The Bible didn't tell you this? And I've got to put him on armor. You know? He says, I'm not used to this thing. I'm not trained with all this thing. I'm a giant shepherd boy who had killed lions and bears. I'm not afraid. He just went down. He took five couples of stones. He just took five. Not that he necessarily need five. No? It's not perhaps you pay five stones down when you're young. And he just put one in there and then he just sing. That's all he did. So people wonder, wow, how could David do that? Maybe I could do the same. Well, if God is not in it, you can't know. You know, like Brother Branham? That's one thing about Brother Branham. I've never seen a man like him. When I watch him on that video, on that film, back in those days, there was no video. Okay? They put it on to view. Wow. He would just stand there and he looked around and he discerned and see the Spirit of God move. And he saw, you know, white sheet came down upon a woman. He could see, nobody could see. And he knew what's wrong with the person. And then the people who stand before him, right? And he discerned, waiting for the vision to come, and he discerned. But when there's no discernment, there's nothing, you have seen that. He just prayed for the person. Go and believe. Right? Remember that? He did say nothing. Because God had some vision to him about this person, he cannot say anything. But today we have a lot of impersonators out there. Alright. Then we also think about all these different doctrine that we have. Eternal hell versus annihilation versus restoration of all things. Do we believe in eternal hell? I mean, I was in the denomination. We told you, yeah, eternal hell was everlasting fire. So we just take the word and we believe in it. But now I know better. Now we know better. Because when we look into the Bible, we see. The Bible talks about the second death. So we need to understand what is death. What is death? Death means the cessation of life. So when all those wicked ones are chucked into the lake of fire, the Bible says this is the second death. You are burnt up and you cease. No more. Got it? But yet, eternal life, eternal hell. And you who are forever suffer pain and forever and ever and ever and ever, there must be life in that. Because it takes life to feel pain. Now, you're all alive. If I think a needle just poke you, do you feel the pain? Obviously, it means there's life. But if you are dead, anybody who poke you, you have no feeling. Because you are dead. You see, look in the Bible. Understanding words is one thing. For the word eternal has been so mistranslated. The Bible translated the word eternal actually from the Greek word aeonos. Aeonos means age, ending. Well, as I said before, people argue me. He said, if there's no eternal hell, there's no eternal life. Because if you say that eternal hell or everlasting hell is age, A-G-E-H, ending, that means come the time when it's ended, you have no more. That means that eternal life is also H, ending. After a certain time you live, there's no more. And I said, you fail to understand that there's only one form of life. And that life that you, God give it to you, is eternal because He's eternal. And that's why I always use the illustration of a circle. A circle has no beginning or ending, right? It's a school runner. God is in that circle. And when God created Before creation, it is outside of the circle. Time begins. It's created outside the circle. So anything that begins must have an end. But because you are given eternal life, we are put back into the circle of God. So, simplicity of understanding. If people don't want to look at it, you won't understand. And so what about restoration of all things? There are many that argue about that God is going to restore all things back. Even some people are teaching that. They believe that everything that God created must come back to the Lord. How? I'll just give you an example. You think you know that. Paul said what? In Adam, all died, right? In Christ, all will be made alive. So they take that one verse, also other verses where in the book of Acts, until the restitution of all things, restitution of all things. So if in Adam all died, all of us are dead. In sin, born in sin, we're all dead. In Christ, all will be made alive. In Christ, all will be alive. So, Christ, Adam, brought about the fall. Christ brought about redemption. So, all must come back to life. You see the argument about this? I talked to one of these believers in the States. I said, you are saying that Hitler will come out back to life. So yeah. So all the wicked ones that are all the bad criminals, the killers, the pedophiles, the rapists, the wicked ones that do not believe in God, they will all come back to life. I say yes. I said, how does it go about it? He said, God will, in the age of the generation, in the future, slowly, slowly bring them back. Now, think about it, my brother and sister. Just human reasoning. A common sense. If I were to beat you up or torture you day and night for days and you suffer all the pain and I'm not punished. That's why did the law of the nation comes in? That's why America failed in many of the things. When the Bible, they said, that in God we trust, the Bible is supposed to be our foundation. When the Bible says, if a man take a man's life, right, by the hand of man, his life will be taken, right? An eye for an eye. And so on. Well, somebody killed somebody, premeditated murder. He might not just kill one, maybe two or three. Then you put him in prison for maybe 50 years, but after maybe 10, 20 years, he can go free because of his good character. They believe in giving a person a second chance. God doesn't give a person a second chance. God put hurdles before you. Just one hurdle before you. What will you do with Jesus called the Christ? No man come unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. What are you going to do with him? You want to reject him? And completely reject him? But you see, the Lord was keep on putting the hurdle before, putting the hurdle before, until such a time you cross the path. Like Judas Iscariot. Like Esau. The word Paul said in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. For the man has already seen all the heavenly thing, the thing that God has done, and yet rejected. You have crossed the line, and that is very hard for you to come back. Alright. Proverbs chapter 2. Now, how many of you know Well, we are familiar, as parents especially. How many of you have never seen a childproof bottle? How many have never seen a childproof water cap? Never seen. How many have never seen a childproof cap, water cap? Who have never? You have never seen it. But if you ever take vitamin, you should know. The bottle that you press in, the cap that you press in, you turn. Childproof or child safe water cap. Have you ever seen it? Yeah, sure. But do you know, when I was in the early years, in the 70s, when this bottle came to Singapore, you know, it's just only the bottle. You look at the bottle, right? You just, oh, it's a bottle, it's certain. What is this? It won't open. Now look at the cap. Push down and turn. So you push down and you turn. Oh! Somebody invented that. And I found out it was a man, a Canadian pediatrician. Canadian. His name is Henry Breuer. You know what happened? He said that he has been seeing children coming into his clinic, into his office, and they have to wash out the stomach. Because these children were taking all these pills. I mean, in those days, huh? Not like today. You can see a lot of candies in the shop. In those days, probably you don't have that kind of candy, right? They probably have little candies in the bottle that you see in the bottle. You buy and then they dish out some candy for you. The kind of candy. I remember Brother Brown back then was saying, he went to a shop where he liked this, I think it's cinnamon or something candy. You know, and I went at some little shop. They still do that. They put those glass bottle and then the candy, small little candy in glass bottle. They say, I want this one, this one, blueberry, I want this one. But today we don't see this sort of thing. But those that we have the kids, they saw the bottle, mommy put in the fridge, and mommy put it in his mouth. Her mouth. Her mommy's not around when open up in her. And some of these drugs, they have a little coating of sugar. I don't know, kick, yum, 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 you put it in and in the hospital. So in 1967, this man, Dr. Hen, he decided to say, I have enough. I'll be able to design something, safety, and invented this push down and turn cap. Wow. You know, as you push down, you turn. How does that work? How does that work? It looks complicated. Actually, the whole thing is very simple. There are two caps. The one on the outside covers the one on the inside. And on the top of the one on the inside, they are actually what we call stud. Okay? And it has a vertical downward and a right, what do you call angulated ridge. Correct. Call it?
Yes,
teeth. Teeth, yeah, correct, teeth. So, it's just like your finger. Now, it goes, the cap goes on top of each other. But, if you don't push it down, you want to turn, you just go over it, right? Just go over it. So, you've got to push it down and grip the bottom part, and then you push, pull, turn it. So, it's very simple. But, there was a joke about this. There was a child holding the bottle and telling the father. The father is trying to figure out how to initialize the hard disk. And this is the kid for the bottle. He said, Daddy, show me how to open this. I will tell you how to initialize your hard disk. So, you know, to the kids, the computer is very simple. He knows the trick. He knows how it works. But he doesn't know how to figure out that thing. And to the father could not, doesn't even know how to initialize the hard disk, how can it work. Now, the thing is, the mechanism, they are very simple. If we don't have the understanding and knowledge, the thing looks very complicated. Right? You understand that, don't you? Okay. So what, Proverbs 1:7? God in simplicity. God in simplicity. He could have been kidding me.
God is simplicity. I mean, what then is God in simplicity? Look at the things that He has created. It's mind-boggling. Don't you think so? How is it that a brown cow eat green grass, produce white milk? From brown to green to white milk. How does that happen? And how is it that an egg hatch out into a little worm, and afterward it keep on eating, keep on shedding, and they get bigger until they become crystals? Well, what's that? And then after a few days, out comes a beautiful butterfly. From an ugly little woody creature to a beautiful butterfly. Everybody wants to catch the butterfly, but nobody wants to catch the worm. Well, God is simplicity. I don't know how this whole thing works. But until you know the mechanism behind why God do it, you know, oh, that's the way it is. The same thing with the Word of God. Is it simple or very complicated? Until you know the mechanism of how to look at it, the Word will be a mystery to you. It's very complicated. I don't understand. Same thing with the Branhamite. You read Barabbas' book, they quote him, but they have no understanding why he speak the way he spoke. Huh? Let's go to Proverbs. Oh, let's go to Proverbs chapter 30 first. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 19. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a mate. Well, you ever watch an eagle fly? Or not just an eagle, the ways of a falcon, the ways of this sunbird. But we look at eagle because the way of the eagle, how it flies. I mean, one of the strongest birds that ever, you know, designed by God, created by God, that it goes up higher. It just flaps its wings once, twice, and just, you know, move along with the air current. It catches the air current, and the hot air keeps on going up. And when there is a storm, it goes up higher and higher and higher and higher. Without even flapping the wing, just flow with the dynamic. Huh? Of the air current, just flow along. Now, you, how many of you wish that you could fly? I mean, interesting. I once dreamt I could fly. What's really? I thought it was real. I was dreaming, it was quite long, the dream was I was flying, oh my goodness. Why? I was flying, you know, over the city and all this thing. And when I came down, after that, in the dream, I tried to go up again, it wouldn't go up. But you know, the feeling of in the dream even looks so real, so I could fly. And everybody wants to fly. I mean, see the way an eagle? The reason why they could fly mechanism, very simple, because their bones are hollow and porous and light, and the feather is designed such a way that catches the wind. But we can't. We don't have the wing. Even though you want to be like, who is the guy in the mythology that tried to be like, what is the name of that Greek mythology he wanted to fly? Huh? Oh, Icarus, that's right. You know, how did he quite frankly fell? Because the sun now away, whatever that is. You see, men are not made to fly. And none are made to swim. We only learn swimmers only to survive in case you fall into the water. But you look at the fish that can go deep. Some of those fishes can go deep because they are built with the special things in their lungs in the way that God made it that they could survive that pressure. Huh. But then, the way of a serpent upon a rock. You know what a serpent is? Not the one with two legs, the one that we always call serpent, the snake. How is it that a rock that is smooth, the snake can go up? How does it do that? It doesn't have legs. But you know the mechanism, how they contract his body, right? The wave of the scale, and it can go up. So, a lot of time when we don't know, we just pass a look at it. And there is an aware of a sheep in the midst of the sea. A sheep. Man-made thing, of course. How is it able to stir in that direction? To go where it wanted to go? Because it was designed by the person who made the sheep. The rudder, the sail catches the wind. And the last part here is the way of a man with a maid. That's a bad translation. That's a bad translation. Actually, because the Greek word, the Hebrew word, it doesn't say a maid. It says the way of a man in his youth, or in his virginity, or in his privacy, and something that is concealed. You know, a person, when you say a woman is, the person who translates may think that this man is trying to court a woman, a courtship of a woman. Alright, going after the virgin. Now, a virgin is concealed. Now, you go out there on the road, you see all the women out there, right? Young women, you do not know whether they are virgin or not. Even though they are not married, some of them are not virgin, right? So the word youth, the word they use here is the word youth. The man in his youth, in his privacy, in everything that is in his consumer, what they do, what they see, how the way he move, how the way he react. Now, young people grow up, well, especially not when you are preteen, but when you are in your late teen, to your adulthood. You are having all this hormone that is raging. So what do you want to do? The way of this young man, he wants something, I want to be a soldier, I want to be this, I want to be that, and all the energy is channeled into it. You don't know what he's thinking. See? So, how to behave? You know, but until you know what they are doing, why? Well, you see, gay people are gay. Young men, they are gay. A youth who is a gay. What is thinking of his mind? Until you talk to him, he tell you. Because he felt that he is. Make that way. Which is not. Because when you talk about life, there is always a spirit that is moving and deceiving people. Right, that goes Proverbs chapter 2, 1 to 11. Brother Henry, can you read that? Proverbs chapter 2, 1 to 11.
Proverbs chapter 2, 1 to 11. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you.
Amen. Now, this is God's advice to young people, or any one of us whom God would call son, means somebody who is learning. Hear what he says here. In order for you to get an understanding and knowledge of God, is when, in the last two verses, when wisdom enter into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion, means sound judgment or thoughtfulness, shall preserve thee. Understanding will keep thee. So, you have to seek knowledge, you have to seek the wisdom of God, like you're looking for silver or seeking for gold. And where do you get that? Another part of the Bible says, by hearkening to the word of God.
But in hugging to the Word of God, first you need to understand. You know, as far as the Bible is concerned, we can never understand it without the Holy Spirit guiding us, leading us, and teaching us. We need Him. That's why Bob and I make the same statement that without the Holy Ghost, you can never understand the Bible. And yet we have a lot of Christians out there, whether it be Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormon, or whether you're Baptist, pastor, and all this. Many other think they know the Bible. But basically they all are learning from what was tradition. What is tradition? So now, to say this, for you and me to enter into the peace and understanding of God, we would have to leave tradition. We have to shake it off, push it out, throw it out. All the many traditions that we have in the past held on as, you know, the truth. Yeah. I did. I was one who believed the eternal hell. I remember one time when I was in the Assemblies of God, because I learned the 16 fundamental truth very faithfully. So one day we were having a Christmas caroling session. You know, Christmas comes to a Christmas carol. So on the 24th of December, there's a bars, everybody going to the bars, and we go from home to home and sing Christmas carol. So while I was in the bars, Bob was packed, we were standing, the rest could have no seat, we stand. And there was this two member of the church was talking about one of them was saying, you know what, I cannot believe that there's such an eternal hell that people just burn and burn and burn and not die. And I heard, and then the other one said, oh, you know, this is what we are taught. No, we just believe it. Then I said, I just interjected, yeah, it's in the Bible, isn't it? We just believe it. You see, we just believe it. Like the Brahma would say, God sent the prophet, we believe it. Everything he says, we believe it. Second, what the text says, say what Brother Branham said. Sad. There are a lot of people in Paul's day, Peter's day. Say what Paul says, say what Peter says, but they're not saying what they say. Say what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. I'll ask you hear my flesh and drink blood, you have no eternal life. Say exactly what he said. Do exactly what he said. Eat him. Drink his blood. You see, the mentality of what we do, we just regurgitate. We just hear something. Like children go to school, taksichit. Just studying something from the book without understanding. The book says so. 1 + 1 = 2. Yeah, I know that. What is 4 + 4? I don't know because it's not in the book. So whatever is not in the book is not there. But do you understand what is? Bible is not just what is there. Bible is progressively opened up to us. The truth is progressively revealed. Alright. Let's have one of this point. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created he him. Male and female created he them. And the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Oh. There's, you got it? Genesis 3:22. And Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. Let it all, when that he be seen, the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. You know, this verse, to know good and evil, or this phrase, there are people who just do not know how to look at it. I said this. We all know that God knows good and evil. We all also know, even now, what is good, what is evil? If you just look at the word, it's good in you. When Adam was created, you know, denomination said that he was created innocent. He was just like a child. Doesn't know anything. That is not true. That is not true. Not only he was a child, that's why he fell. Really? That's why I wrote that book, The Sin of Adam. What had he done? That book has caused many people to have headache. Because they cannot believe what is written in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But because the tradition that you hold on to, have been holding on to, overrides the Word of God. Do you believe that Adam know good and evil? Do you know that that fellow, young man there, Elijah, do you know good and evil? You know what is good and bad? Do you know? You know. Do you know what is hot and cold? Sure. You know. Of course. Let's say you have never seen the snow before. People tell the snow is cold. How do you know it is? Because you never seen it. You never held it. Right? But people tell you that it is like those frosting in the fridge. That's what snow is like. And they tell you that it is cold. So okay, it's cold. So when you go out there and you go to a place where there's snow, and the snow comes down, you touch it, you know it is cold. Obviously, right? Now people tell you the fire is hot, it burns. But if you look at it, you never touch it, you will not know. That's true. You go near to a fire, you can feel the heat, right? That's the reason why early days when I had my son and my daughter, we always tell them, don't go to the stove and take anything or put anything down from the stove. We take their hand and put them near the fire to let them feel the heat. And they know that one thing is going to hurt you. But now we say about good and evil. What right and wrong? Thou shalt not steal. You know you cannot steal. You know stealing is wrong. Sure, you know it's wrong. So now, do you not think that Adam knows good and evil? He does know what is good and evil. But he doesn't have to experience it to know the reality of it. Do you know that fornication is wrong? Right? Fornication is wrong. I know it's wrong. But you do not know how wrong and how bad it is until you fornicate. That is something that Adam knew. Not that he doesn't know. But man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. That means to say to the extent of the ugliness of the whole thing. I know the fornication is bad. But I don't know how ugly it is until you do it. Stealing is wrong. But try to steal and get caught and see what happens. So that is the consequences of how bad it is that you know. Not that Adam does not know what is good and evil. Now, the point here is this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Adam was created in the image of God, right? Okay. What about Jesus? Well, we know about the first Adam as Adam. Adam, the first man. Adam. What about the second man? The last Adam. The first and the last. One is the type, one is the anti-type of each other. The first Adam, the first man, was from the earth, earthly. The second man was from heaven, above the kingdom. Oh, look at this. I want you to look at this mystery here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4.
2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded? Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them?
Alright, it says Jesus Christ here is in the image of God. Yes? Yes, sir. Okay. When Jerry was born, he grew up, he ministered. When he was a man on earth, did he know good and bad, evil? Did he know good and evil? He know good and evil, right? Well, we all sin. We all have sinned. We came to the world born in sin. We know what is good and evil. That's a basic thing. We know what good and evil is. But Jesus came, he know what is good and evil. Adam also knew what is good and evil. Both are in the image of God. Only that we are in a fallen state. But they are in the pure state. Jesus was in the pure state. Adam was in the pure state before sin came, right? So Jesus came walking on 2 feet. He knows good and evil. So my question is this. If he did, if he know what is good and evil, why did he transgress against God? Whoops, somebody's out there watching perhaps says, what? Jesus Christ transgressed against God? Did Jesus Christ transgress against God? We think quotation, the word transgression. Remember what the Bible said? He was numbered among the transgressors. Jesus was numbered among the transgressors. Aye. If Jesus did not transgress, why did the Bible say that he was numbered among the transgressors? Think about it. Matthias, remember Peter on the day of Pentecost? Before the Pentecost, they say, okay, we're going to elect one of these Matthias or Barsabbas to replace Judas Iscariot, right? So they cast lot. Of course, God was not in this thing of casting lot. God is not in voting. God calls direct. So they cast lot and Matthias was chosen. And the Bible says, and he was numbered with the 12. Correct? Because he was elected, chosen. Put among the 12. So the same thing, Jesus was numbered with the transgressor. That means he was in transgression. But how was he in transgression? Did he do something wrong? And the Bible says he was numbered with the transgressor. But he was not a transgressor. But yet he did somehow transgress. Wow! What are you saying, preacher God? What are you saying? That's why the mystery here, people don't want to understand. Adam knew good and evil. He knew that Eve had already fallen. Right? The day they eat the fruit, you shall surely die. Eve did it. What did he hear about Adam? What's he going to do? That's why I said this thing. You need to know who Adam was. You need to know who you are. The song, who I am, Lord, who am I am. I can see now who I am. So who was Adam? What was he going to do? He knew that God said, you eat the day you love it, you will surely die. Man, I tell you this, Adam had a headache. Because here is the decision he has to make. And I tell you this, God looked down from heaven above. And he knew that Adam knew that God knew what he's going to do. Huh? You getting what I'm saying? God is just watching. This is my son. He's created in my image. Like father, like son. Am I not right? Yes? And what do you think about this, huh? You don't get this teaching in the denomination because it's not traditional. You gotta pull away from the traditional nonsense and understand what the Bible says. So then you will be able to appreciate. Because Adam was an image of God. Eve came from his side. Now Eve is in trouble. What are you going to do? Ah, I can't be bothered with you. You commit the sin, you can go and die. Is that what he would say? And he knew that God has only given him one wife. Huh? He didn't have, God says, he knew that God is not going to bring him another one. Because there's only one. Because already he already made a prophecy, a prophetic word he uttered. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and join his wife, and there shall be one flesh. That word that come out from his mouth tells you that God is not going to give him another one. And he knows it. And now his wife is going to die. So what is he going to do? And God is going to watch him. What are you going to do? You are my son. What are you going to do? Your bride is in trouble. What are you going to do? Think. That's why, as I said, you look at the word carefully. You get understanding, get the wisdom of God in his wisdom. How that he formed the whole world, whole universe. How he created you and me. Do you see the point now? So what is Adam going to do? Man, he got a real big problem in his head. What am I going to do, man? If you got somebody else talking to, what am I going to do? But where is Job? Will be Job and he's going to die. I will be the only one in this earth. Don't tell me that Adam doesn't have a revelation. There's some people think that he said he knows nothing, like a little children growing up, learning things. Oh no, he knows. That's why I said when Jesus was on earth as the second man and the last Adam, did he know good and evil? Or was he so innocent doesn't know what he's doing? Huh? He knows. And he's learning and he knows. Adam is learning and he knows too. So what is the rule? Like every one of us now, we all know who I am. Right? But you're still learning. We can never stop learning. Because you're not God. God already knows everything. There's nothing for him to learn. It's only for him to do whatever he wants. But we are still learning. So Adam had to finally make a decision. God is just watching. I like that. I always imagine how the father is looking down at Adam. He said, I don't know where the angel are looking, you know. The angel talked to the Lord. And God said, you know, just see what you're going to do. You mock my word. My word. He's going to do exactly what I would do. God is an image of God. And he had to save Eve. And by saving Eve, he has to identify with the sin of Eve. That's why. Original sin. What did they know? Fruit. And the Bible said what? The Bible said in Genesis, Eve took out the fruit and ate it and gave to Adam who was with her. They used the word which was with her. Adam was there beside her. And this is very sweet, no, honey? Try it. Really? That's what somebody said to me. The Bible said Adam was with her. Means that Adam was standing there. Really, do you know what it means? If you are in the house, you are in the kitchen and the phone rang, your husband is in the other room in the toilet, somebody asks you, where is your husband? And your husband is with me. Oh, then put him on the phone. But he's not beside me. He's with me in the house, but not beside me. You got a point? The word with, people think that standing by the person, with her. And there's some people are so trying to twist the word of God from the denomination. You are saying that Eve commit fornication with the serpent and Adam was standing there watching. Because Adam, by himself, Adam is with her. You see how the mind is? The mind is working like that. And that's why the sperm might have a problem too. Because he said, there goes a problem. But the serpent is a tree. And not is good and evil. So he partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam was a partook of the same tree whole. So Eve had sex with the serpent, Adam had sex with the serpent as well. You see that kind of mentality of understanding. Look at it carefully and clearly. And you will not miss it out. So when Jesus was on earth, he knows good and evil. But what did he do? What did he do? He transgressed by obtaining the sin, by taking the sin of fallen man upon himself, right? What does it mean? When you identify with someone, you are one with that person. You got it? How the Bible said, not Paul said, if a man goes to a harlot and sleep with her, is he not one with the harlot? That's enough. Yes? Yeah. So when Jesus Christ identified with fallen men and take the sins of men upon himself, he is one with mankind. That's why he doesn't want to take the sin. When you were in the garden, garden of Gethsemane. Huh? The night before he went, when he was on the table, he was already stressed out. So after the communion, after the feet washing, he went to the garden of Gethsemane. His heart was heavy. The disciple was with him. He says, I'm going to further away from you and pray. You, while you are, wherever you are here, just watch and pray with me. Right? He went there, he prayed. And after he came back, he said, I'm sleeping. He said, can't you watch 1 hour with me? He went again to pray, came back, same thing happened. His passion was done. There was a struggle, brother and sister, there was a struggle. Do you know the pain that was in Christ and that very night? Just think about it. It's like Calvary. Calvary was easy after he passed through Gethsemane. That was the biggest challenge of his life. What do you think he prayed so hard? He was a really joyful came to die for us. It's just like an easy thing, it seems. Do you know how hard it is for him? You are born to live. We are all born to live, but he's born to die. He was born to die. The moment he was born, you know he's going to face death. For you and me. We are all born to live. We don't have to die for anything. So just think. Pray 3 times up there, struggling. Father, if it is possible, remove this cup, if it is possible. But it's not my will be done, but thine, O Father, that will be done. Oh, the pain, he had to struggle. And he was so tense up, his heart was beating very fast. I don't know how many beats per minute. 100, 110, 150. Until his heart became enlarged. The pressure was so great that the blood all burst out from the capillary under the skin and came out through the pores, makes you sweat. Can you imagine that? Science understands it now. That's what Jesus said, that a broken heart. How did they know? How did science know about it? You prove from scripture how you know about it, the Bible tells you. When he was hanging upon the tree and after he died, the soldier pierced his side, right? They pierced his side. And the Bible said, water and blood comes forth. And he said, blood comes forth. He said, water and blood. His heart was so enlarged, stressed. You know how the heart muscle is? Until the pericardium, there is a a skin sack that covers the heart. You know what happened? It became filled with blood. Blood, the capillaries in the heart start to burst until the blood oozes into the pericardium. They become a sack below the heart. And after several hours, you know what blood is? You have eat blood before. If you don't ever get a chicken, you cut, slaughter, you know, cut the throat, take the blood, put it in the bowl, and leave it on the table for an hour or two. See what happened? You find that the blood separates from the water. That's what happened. The Bible said, pull every water clean off. He died of a broken heart. A broken heart. And even the world has proven some record that has been shown. Several people were so stressed out for someone they loved, they actually died of a broken heart. When the autopsy was done, they found this heart was so enlarged, it breaks into that sack. Water, the blood went into that sack. Just think about it. That's why he just died on the cross. He died of a broken heart. He wasn't killed in any sense of the word. He gave his life for you and me. Nobody take it. I take it. I laid it down. And I'll raise it up again. Did you see? So does he know? Good and evil. Yes. Adam, no good and evil, but he had to rescue him. Jesus can know good and evil, you have to rescue his bride. Adam rescuing Eve, identify with Eve's sin. Be one with her. And the same thing, Christ, be one with us. Because he cannot be a redeemer without being one with us and buy back. That's why the word redemption, religion, came from the word religal, to buy back. God Christ, nobody's good and evil. But now when he went beyond the good and evil to identify with us, my, that's where the pain is. He could see how horrible it was. So Father, Father, what have thou forsaken me? Why do you scream out like that? Now he's tasting the extremity of the evil side of life. Something horrifying. You know. It's just a well, maybe reading ghost story book like me. I used to read a lot of horror stories. I love reading them. When I was young, whole hundreds of books that I bought. Read them. I like it. I don't read at night. If they feel a little eerie, a little scary, I just hear the truth. But you can picture all these horrible things coming and all that. But all of a sudden, if something horrifying appear before you, I can tell you, you scream head off. It's the same thing. Knowing good and evil is one thing. But taking on it, you'll see how bad it is. You take the good, oh, you like it. You did something good, you feel good, right? Isn't it true? You did something bad, that's bad, you hate it. So why did I do it? Why? Jesus said, I don't want to go through it. Father, if possible, remove it some other way. I don't want to die. But the Father in heaven never said a word. He's just watching the earth, just as he watched Adam. You are in my image. I know what you're going to do. Chip of the old block, so you will say, right? Like father, like son. What are you going to do? So we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. What do you expect God to do? You know, what do God expect of us? To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. Although I long to be like him. Yeah. I think I'll stop here. I'll continue the rest next week. But I pray that you understand. The more that you understand the Word of God, and you begin to meditate, that's what I want you to encourage you. To spend time in the Bible, study. Then meditate upon it. Let your mind just drift into the world of the Spirit, and just see how it is. And you'll be able to feel that presence. And I don't know what God is going to do with you. How God will, what God will give it to you. Like I said this, my mom, from young, she had been reading the Bible. She told us about Jesus Christ, go out, we went to church. And I saw that, I always see her praying in the night before she sleep and read the Bible. Though she was a stubborn person, though her life was not good, because she never really had a full understanding of the Word of God. She was drifting from the Baptist to the Presbyterian, or a Presbyterian even with a sister, and going to the Catholic Church. And I was young, I was with her, I went with her because I have not been to a church before, so I just went with her to this Catholic Church with a sister. Roman Catholic Church, light a candle, and then bought these two white candles. And then the church is selling rosary with the beads, and the beads, it grows in the dark. They set a number on you. So we bought that bag, and then we hide under the blanket, and yeah, it grows in the dark. So you know, we do it. So my mom and I, until when I came to know the Lord and understand the whole thing, and then tried to talk to her, she just keep going on the same way, that's okay. But it was only later that I came to the message that I talked to her a bit more. But she's still stubborn. Until her brother died. She went to the funeral, met her cousin, and she came back and said, I talked to my cousin, you know? He's still in the Presbyterian church. And we were talking, I was talking with him and telling him that, oh, my son Richard is already in the ministry and all this thing. And I told my mom, I said, Mom, do you know your cousin? He's a good preacher. He knows the truth. But he still holds on to the Presbyterian creed. So what is that? I said, simple thing. Was supposed to baptize a family believer in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. You know that was correct. But he went back and so he told the believer, said, I have to ask my pastor about it. He went up to the pastor about it, came by and said, I cannot baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because our creeds, our tenor, will not allow that. Think about it. Huh? So that's why I told my mom. So I said, now you read this tract. I give her this big tract. When we produce, we don't no longer have it. It's all about some quotes of Abraham, about end time, about what about this and this and that. She read it, and she started coming to our church. And then she removed her earring and keep her hair long and still continued to read the Bible. And I was praying for her that the Lord would bless her. And then one night, she had a vision, an open vision. She was so excited. I said, Mom, I said, now you understand. Be obedient to the Lord. I told you before, I told you many times. Now that you have been obedient, that's why the Lord showed himself to you in the vision. That's true. You want to know what the Lord will do for you? Get close to the Lord. You never know when. Whether in the dream he show you, or in an open vision, or whatever way, God will bless you as you hold on to the Word of God in truth and in obedience. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. Pray that, Father, that you open our hearts and our eyes again, O Lord. As always, Father, when we are drifting over into the world, or drifting away, Father, from your precious word, we pray that you tug at our heartstrings, Lord.
put us to you, to your word. And that we spend the time, Father, with you. Otherwise, Father, Lord, we will not be able to revive or have a revival with you if we are not constantly, O Father, walking with you. I pray, Father in heaven, you bless everyone now and all who have ear to hear. Let him hear. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.